Morning, guys. Welcome to Tuesday Manna. So glad you joined us. I'm so excited for today's manna and what God has for us. Before we jump into that, though, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you so much for the guidance that we get from it. And God, I just pray that you would bless your servant. God, I pray that you'd bless your word and that you would speak to people's hearts today. I thank you for that. We pray these things in the name of your Son. And everyone said, amen. All right, so today I want to talk about doing what is right. There's many places in the Bible where we are called to do what's right. In fact, in James, which James is an amazing book, right? The Proverbs of the New Testament, a lot of practical advice for practical living for the Christian life is found in James, right? So it says in James 4:17, it says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Okay, so let's talk about the right thing, right? In the world we live in, we have to define everything very clearly because the words keep getting twisted, right? They've twisted marriage, they've twisted love, they've twisted every one of those important words, and we have to have a clear biblical definition for those words so we know what we're talking about. When we're talking about doing right, doing what's right, there's a million different ways that the world says is the right way to do things. The cool thing for us as Christians is we have a solid foundation in what is right, and that is the Bible, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth, as someone once said, right? So this is our roadmap on how to do and what to do that is right. Now, when we're doing right, it can be super easy if everybody else is doing what's right, right? If everybody else is doing what's right, it's really easy to follow the crowd. It gets hard when every other person in the crowd, besides those select few, right, are doing what's wrong. And you have to be the one that God has called to stand up and do what's right. That's when it gets hard, right? And this life that we're living, it's not going to be easy. And what God calls us to do, when we're called to do the right thing, it's rarely the easy thing, right? God is shaping us and forming us into his image through these things that we go through in this life, through what he places us before us. And we're called to do what is right. We're called to follow his word, to follow the commandments, right? To witness, to bring other people to Christ. But it's not easy. But in this life, we have a helper, right? God gave us the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in our hearts. So we have the Holy Spirit abiding in us, and we get to rely on his strength and his power. So just in looking at this story today, I want to look specifically at a story in the Old Testament. You know, I love my Old Testament stories, where there were three guys that chose to stand up and do what was right, while a whole nation chose to do what's wrong. Okay, and that is in Daniel. Daniel 3, of course, you know I'm talking about by now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So here's the story, okay? Obviously, in this case, Israel has been captured, and a lot of them have been exiled. Some of them have been chosen and exiled in Babylon, okay? And at this point, there's some that have risen up. And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have all risen up and come within the counsels of the king. Okay, and they've already made several stands. The first stand is in Daniel chapter 1, where they choose not to eat the food that the king provides them with. And they even back up their faith with action, and the king actually changes the whole thing. Then, of course, the king has a dream, and the only person that can explain that dream is Daniel. And in the dream, right, God shows King Nebuchadnezzar a statue, and it shows the future, right? What's going to happen in the kingdom. And he is the head of gold, right? Well, from that, he twists it in his heart, and he decides to make a full gold image of himself. And then when the music plays, he's requiring everybody there to bow down to that image. Now, obviously, these boys, and Daniel's not in this story. They think that Daniel was out somewhere doing something else. I definitely don't believe he was bowing down, right? But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not bow down to any other god but theirs, right? They've been raised right. So when the music plays, those three are up, right? And obviously somebody notices, and they tell the king. And the king's not too happy with these guys. So there's a little bit of backstory. I want to read a little bit of this because the story is just so amazing. So let's pick it up after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been told on, right, by the Chaldeans, some of the other kings. So we're going to pick it up in verse 13, and I think we might finish the chapter because there's just some good things to pull through here. So let's go Daniel 3, 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the commandment to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these three men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" I love this. So the king's like, all right, let's try this again. If you don't do it, we're going to do it. And I love this because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not give him a chance to do it again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat be of the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire, into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and that they frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, and they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I have made a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces. And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So there's so much from this story that is powerful. First of all, again, like I said, 3 men standing up against a nation, right? And the consequences were dire. The consequences were their life. They did it or they died. Their response to the king, their answer to the king is my favorite, right? Guess what? You know, we have a God who's able to serve us. No matter how hot you heat that furnace, we have a God who's able to save us. But you know what? I want you to know that even if he doesn't save us, we're not going to bow. We're not going to worship your gods. And that response, right? They were so set on doing what God had for them, on standing up and worshiping and bowing down to only the true God, on doing what was right, that even if they were ready to face death if God chose not to save them. But of course, we know that really after that was heated up, God was there. I mean, God was there the whole time, but imagine how hard that would be, standing in a crowd of thousands and being only three men. It would be so, I mean, you have your brother on either side, but man, that would be hard. And they stood up and they confronted the king and they stood for what they believed in. They stood for what is right. And guess what? God came in and helped them in their time of need, right? They were thrown into the fiery furnace. The men that put them in there were mighty men of valor, and they died at the very presence of the heat of the furnace. And then God showed up with them, right? An angel of the Lord, Jesus, showed up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the flames. Then their God was honored. God was honored through those three. If you read what Nebuchadnezzar said, right? Because no other God can deliver like this. Then they were promoted because they stood up for what they believed in. So as you're doing what's right, you're going to come up against opposition. And if you stand strong on what God has you to do and what God's called you and what the Bible says, you're going to face opposition that could be to the point of death, like these guys, right? If you persevere through that, God has amazing things for you on the other side. First of all, God will be honored in your life, and that's probably the greatest thing we could say as humans, right? Then, through that, they were honored. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were promoted. That's the same for us. If we can stand strong, we can have God honored in our life, and then others will see, and then God will work so that we are promoted, so that we are brought where he needs us to be. And like I said at the beginning, that's never easy. This life isn't easy, but God promises that he'll be there, that he will never lead us or forsake us. One final thought. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." When you're doing good, it won't always come as quickly as it did like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? It's like, oh, God was honored right away, and they were promoted right away. But we should not grow weary of doing good, because in due season, we will reap a harvest, right? If we do not give up. So you might be going through something hard. You might be the only one standing up, and right now, you can't see anything good from it. But do not grow weary in doing good, because in due season, you will reap. Don't give up. God is with you through everything. He is molding and shaping you more like his son through every trial. Keep up the good work. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.